The message that the Holy Spirit pressed upon me today was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'd like to ask the Lord to just release that grace that surpasses understanding so that we can understand what He wants. Amen? So, Father, I ask that You would just release grace right now and to release out of my heart just those words that are of You. I believe that the Holy Spirit prepares everything ahead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, He is really wanting us to go forward with life, and life to the fullest. And there's a word that I'd like to kind of press in, because of the press, is that verse 55 says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Well, I've dealt with death. I've had to face death. I think the enemy would have loved to kill me 100 times over. Many of you have also had dealings with the spirit of death. He came to visit a few times, and probably you didn't like it, but sometimes we submit, and we're not even aware. But it is scriptural to say that death is going to be conquered, and it will be overwhelmed by what? Life. By life, and what else? Resurrection within us. Without resurrection inside of us, what do we have? We have a very dormant, dead spirit. But when Jesus comes into our hearts, and we begin to understand that the kingdom of light has come in, it overwhelms the darkness, and a war begins. How many never knew that there was an enemy before they were born again? Never bothered with him. He never bothered with me because I was working full-time for him. Didn't even know it. Now, the minute I began to go towards the Lord, He begins to show up. Do we focus on Him? Yes, we do. Do we give Him the attention? Yes, we do. Are we aware of what He's doing? No, we're not. He has a plan to what? Destroy. To kill. To steal. To do whatever He can in order to rob us of our jubilee. In 1 Corinthians again, 15, I'd like you to go to verse, I like the light, 20. Because that's where I'd like to kind of push some buttons there and get a little deeper with what He wants. "But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ Jesus, or in the anointing, all will be made alive." Is that what your Bible says? It doesn't say some will be made alive. It says all will be made alive. "But each in his own turn, Christ the first fruit. And when he comes, those who belong to him." Do you belong to him? So what are you facing? You're facing resurrection when?
When he comes.
When he comes. Thank you. Do we have to wait for a particular day? Just when He is ready within us. Amen. Okay. "Then the end will come." The end of what? The end of death will come. Resurrection will have been established. Life will have its fullness inside of you and me. Amen. when he hands over the kingdom of God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. He has destroyed. He. Who is he? He is the anointing. He is Christ Jesus within us. That's what it says. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under. And the last enemy to be destroyed is? So where is death going? Look at your table in the middle. There's a shoe. It's a bride shoe. It's got a wonderful spike. Heel. To go inside of the spirit of death. I can tell you this without any hesitation. My oldest grandson has had a couple or three experiences with God. And several years after maybe a year or two, I don't remember the numbers. After he graduated from high school, he decides that he's going to do like his dad and go and get a tattoo. So he comes home and his grandmother is so upset, which is my wife, because on his arm, right in here, is a huge picture of a skull, and in it, there's a dagger going right through the head of the skull. I looked at that, and I began to pray in the spirit, and I said, this is God's doing. So I said, by the way, Christopher, I love this tattoo. He says, you do? Where? How come, Pep? I said, well, you chose to put the sword of the spirit inside of the skull of death. He looked at me, he says, I don't remember that. The very thing he thinks is something that's attracting him from the dark side is being used to expose the light that's already in him. And he has no clue. He's drawn to God, but he's afraid. And until God brings him, he's going to be where he is. And that's perfectly okay by me. I'm not going to stretch him, push him, shove him, yell at him, criticize him, because he's got enough of those forces already. I don't need to add to the insults. You understand? So if you have a person that's getting a tattoo, rest. Rest. Don't get all bent out of shape because they may be used of God as a testimony that he knew all along who you belong to. My grandson belongs to Jesus Christ. Is he walking for the Lord right now? I think he has no clue. But that's okay by me, because I walked in the same shoes. There was a season in my life I had no clue. Look at your neighbor. Say, you also have been planned of God. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to have his way with you in spite of your brain. Well, it's the truth, isn't it? Sometimes logic gets me into what? And it gets me into death. And I don't like it. But I have to live with it. Verse 25. For he must reign until he has put, he should have a circle around it. He has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Is the body of Christ a person? It is a multifaceted person. And therefore we could have little parts of the feet right here today. Standing on the spirit of death is part of what we're learning to do. That's part of our jubilee. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who puts everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who has put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. So God's plan is to be everywhere at all times, including every aspect of who you are and what you are. Now, if there is no resurrection, what will those do who are baptized for the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized for them? Isn't that a wonderful question? This implies that the Corinthian church used to do a priesthood before God, that they would literally be baptized for somebody who was already on the other side. There goes your legal status. Today, if I went to someone and asked him to baptize me for someone that's in the other realm, what would you think I would get? How many think that I would get some legal concepts? Thank you. But you see, St. Paul is writing about this to give us a clue. Maybe our little tiny mentality needs to be stretched a little. Do I believe that I would do this? I don't know. I've never been asked. But it is scriptural because it was being done then. So much for legal status. Well, you say it could be a play on words, it could be this, it could be that. I guarantee you, if it was God, he would definitely have it done again. If he wanted it done again, he'd make a way. So don't get legal. Be free. Verse 30. And as for us, why do we endanger ourselves every hour? I die every day. I mean that, brothers, just as surely as I glory over you in Christ Jesus our Lord, if I fought wild beasts in Ephesus for merely human reasons, what have I gained if the dead are not raised? So he's really trying to give them an understanding that even those that are in the grave are not gone. They're not gone forever. And even if you are living in the grave, how many sometimes feel they're living in the grave? Thank you. It's not hopeless for you. Because resurrection is resident within as well. Amen? So do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought. Stop sinning, for there are some who are ignorant of God. I say this to your shame. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish! What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Amen? If you put a seed into the ground, are you expecting for the product that comes out of the ground to be identical to the seed? Yes, but it does die first. Before it can germinate, it has to break open. How many know that you were anointed today with the pomegranate seed oil? It is the fruit that is so filled with seed that all it is seed. And it represents Christ Jesus. And it represents the priesthood of the Levitical background. They were being told that there would be a high priest that would come, that would be so full of seed that he would bring multiples and multiples of new birth. And some of you have that in your spirit even as I speak. Verse 37. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. And he goes on about the flesh. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds another, fish another. And there are also heavenly bodies, but there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is of one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is of another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another. and the stars another, and the stars differ from the stars in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. So it will be. Now, it doesn't say might be. He says will be. It's a statement of faith. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. Look at your neighbor. Say, right now you've got some flesh that could be sliding downward. And I don't like it. But resurrection is also alive in me. And I'm getting more power of resurrection in me. Every day. Hallelujah. See, the outside does start changing when we get a little older, guys. Believe me. But I guarantee you, so does resurrection get a little stronger. Amen? It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. How many know when you get older, you get a little weaker? And it's no fun. And sometimes we want to just give up. But if we struggle against the darkness, what happens? The light takes over. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Look at your neighbor. Say, you've got a spiritual body getting ready. Hallelujah. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam. This is very important, and it should be underlined in your Bible. The first man, Adam, became a living, what? Being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Somebody's got the Amplified on that. I want you to read it, because I checked it out this morning. Peggy, would you read it out loud, please?
Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, an individual personality. The last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life.
Restoring what? The dead. Back to life. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. Remember my comment to you last week. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and into dust thou shalt return. And the Lord said to me, don't take that dust. You're not of that nature anymore. So I had to stop my religious practice. Some of you need to change. And listen to what the Holy Ghost is telling you rather than what the law says to do. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. The Amplified says earthly minded, correct? As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as it is of the man of heaven, so are those who are of the heavens. Are you of the earth or are you of the heavens? The heavens. Christ Jesus is your Lord, is he not? Is he alive inside your heart? Then he's resurrecting you even now. Even now, you're getting stronger in him. I can do all things through Christ who? I can do all things through the anointing who? Come on, I can do all things through Christ. He's the anointing, right? Declare it again. I can do all things. Change the words this time. I can do all things through the anointing. Who strengthens me? That's the word Christ. And it's happening now. Philippians 4:13. Amen? All right. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, how many know sometimes when you get older you realize you're made out of the Adam stuff? So shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So there's a war going on. The outside is changing. The inside is also changing. And that's encouraging. And the Jubilee is getting stronger. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That means your earthly mindedness will not be able to understand the kingdom. You'll get a glimpse here and you'll get a glimpse there, but you won't have the ability out of your natural mind to get an understanding of God. He is spirit, and he will be revealed by his Holy Spirit, who is resident inside of us. Okay. Listen, I tell you, a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. So now, if I take off my jacket, which is what God told me to do, and lay it at the foot of the altar. He said, get rid of the tie, free up. I was trying to impress you. That was the old. There's a new garment of glory raising up inside of me. Look at your neighbor. Say, there's a glorious, marvelous jacket growing inside of me. It's the glory of God that will clothe me down the road. Hallelujah. See, the immortality of you is really your spirit man. And your spirit man being filled by the Holy Ghost gives you what? More and more clothing of the immortal. Aha. And the immortality that you're now wearing is going to get stronger. What happens after a certain level of that immortality being inside of you? What happened to Paul and Peter and James and John? It says Peter would walk down the sidewalk and his shadow would kind of irritate the darkness in those that were standing or laying there. Even those that were half dead were coming back to life. Just by the radiance of the imperishable and the wonderful glory that was inside of him. Now, if that happened at the first fruit, what do you think is going to happen to you and me? Jesus is the first fruit. He is the firstborn son of many brothers, and there's more to come. Amen? All right. Now, when the perishable, verse 54, has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Oh, where, oh death, is your victory? Where, oh death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is in the... The power of sin is in the law. Is the law good? Yeah, it shows you what sin is. What are you supposed to do? Be obedient to the Lord. Don't be so bound by the law that you actually walk around like a dead person. Be so filled with God's mercy and grace that you will be able to walk in joy. And people will look at you and say, boy, there's so much life in you. I want what you got. Under the law, you're going to have a big, long, sour puss. It'll look like you ate some real sour stuff. Maybe you have. Maybe you've been eating all this law stuff. Maybe it's time to take on the freedom that Christ has given us. Amen? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is in the law, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you get victory? Through Christ Jesus. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, there's a lot more in this chapter. I've skipped around. I skipped over. But I would say to you that from the word of knowledge that came in the back, you've got two chapters to study. There are other words that could confirm it, but the most important is 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. Put them together. When the letter was written, it didn't have numbers. And as you do, reflect on what you're reading. Look at what God is saying about who you are in Christ Jesus. And look at the reality of His love for you. Look at how much He's given you in life, and how much life will overshadow you as you keep walking in your understanding of the man of the Spirit. You are not following the man of the flesh. That was Adam. Yes, you have the Adam nature in you, but don't concentrate on it. Don't focus on it, because the more you focus on your failure, the more depressed you're going to be. Amen? If you focus on the one who conquered every failure and weakness, what's going to happen? You're going to overcome. Because you're putting on immortality. You're letting the mind of Christ go inside of you. And it'll get stronger and stronger. Instead of beating yourself up, stop it. The accuser has had enough days on you. Don't use his words to put yourself down, because all it's going to do is hurt you. Now I want you to take your neighbor's hand. We're going to pray together. Good. Hallelujah. Look at this. Hallelujah. Repeat after me, Lord Jesus. I'm a part of the body of Christ. And as the bride of Christ, my feet will trample on the spirit of death. It's a statement of faith. Because God said in His word, the last enemy to be conquered is death. I used to fear death, Lord. Today, I look at death. And I say, you have no power. You have to work with Jesus. The Spirit of Christ Jesus is life. And He is alive and well in me. He's my Jubilee. And I'm celebrating that victory this day in Jesus' name.